We know that He is here. You know, I would not waste my time going to a church in which I did not sense the presence of God while I was there. I'd considered it a waste of my time. And if we don't have His presence, then we have nothing to offer anyone. And that's what this whole day has been about, is about celebrating His presence, but celebrating who He is and what He does and how He manifests His love through people. John chapter 13, page 876 in your United Methodist Holy Bible. Page 876, John chapter 13. And I'm going to ask if you would stand with me today as we read God's Word together. I understand the time. I know it is 12:30 somewhere, but not here. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, page 876. Let's read together. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off His outer robe, and tied a towel around Himself. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around Him. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can be seated. In 2015, the life expectancy in the United States was 78.74 years. Just to contrast it with some other countries, in Japan, the life expectancy was 83.84 years. And in the United Kingdom, 81.6 years. In the United States, the life expectancy for females is 81.2 years. And for males, it is 76.4 years. So the lesson we learn from that is when you get old, move to Japan. You're guaranteed another 5 years. The Bible reminds us that life is brief. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15 says, "For we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope." Job said this in the 7th chapter, the 6th verse, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to an end without hope. Remember that life is but a breath." And then in chapter 9, verse 25, Job said, "Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good." The psalmist said in Psalm 39, verse 5, "Behold, you have made my days as hand breaths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath." James said this in chapter 4, verse 14, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." I'm reminded today of the distraught patient who called her doctor's office. She asked the nurse, she said, "Is it true that the medication the doctor has prescribed for me is supposed to be taken all my life?" And the nurse said, "Well, yes, it is." And after a long pause, the woman said to the nurse, "Well, my condition must be worse than I thought, because the bottle says no refills." Someone has said regarding men that the 7 stages of a man's life are spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. You know, In a way, Jesus was fortunate to know the end of his life. The passage we read said this: Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, he knew the time. And that is not a luxury you and I have. We don't have a calendar hanging on our refrigerator that says my life and circled somewhere down the road, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years from now, there's a date with a big X through it that says goodbye world, goodbye. We don't have that option. So how are we to live in this life? How are we to go through a life that Paul described in 1 Corinthians? He said this: now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as fully as I've been known. Moses said this in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. How do we live with the knowledge that this could be our last day? And I believe this is one of the reasons why communion is so important. Communion is something we do the first Sunday of every month, but communion is so important because of the life lessons that it teaches us. And one of the life lessons that we are taught when we take communion is that regardless of the extent of our life, we are one body and it belongs to Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of that one bread. This table reminds us that we belong to Christ and that he belongs to us, that we belong to something called the church. He is the head of the church. We are part of that body. This table reminds us when we take that piece of bread and that cup that we are part of the body of Christ and we're partaking of the body of Christ, that we were purchased by the blood of Christ and we are partaking of that blood, one body, one blood. It speaks to us of our identity as a person. And let me say this just as an aside. I know that we love our church. We love this building. We love our history. We love our present. We love our future. But if a tree were to fall on this church and completely destroy it, it would not destroy Pisgah United Methodist Church. The body of Christ that makes up Pisgah United Methodist Church would go on. This is not our identity. This is our identity. The cup, the broken body, that is our identity. That says you are part of the body of Christ. Who we are is not determined by where we live. It's not determined by what we drive. It's not determined by how much money we have. The cup, the bread say that I am a child of God. The cup and the bread say that I belong to the body of Christ. We've seen that body functioning and operating. Yesterday, 21 people went to Godby High School and packed meals for a full summer. We did the calculation. We packed 1,080 meals yesterday, our two groups. Not the whole group. Our two groups packed 1,080 meals. We would have packed more if Sherry's team had have gotten their act together. Let me tell you something else. That box we had out in the foyer where we were collecting food, they collected a total of 2,800 pounds. We provided 219 pounds of that food. Almost one-tenth of all the food collected was collected from you. From you. I was talking with someone yesterday, and they said, of all the churches that participated, there was one church Bethel Missionary Baptist Church that has over 1,000 members, that one church gave more than we did. That's the only church. A church of over 1,000 members. They had to find a church with over 1,000 members to beat you. That's your heart. That's who you are as a church. Yesterday, Sherry and I got there a little early, and there was another Methodist church there that was participating, and we were talking to the gentleman. It was Tallahassee Heights United Methodist Church. By the way, they only had one team. We had two, but they can't help that. There's no competition at all. I just want you to know. The gentleman was talking to Sherry and I, and Sherry said, you know, these are the coordinators for Operation Christmas Child. And you know what he said to Sherry and I? He said, we were all amazed at what Pisgah United Methodist Church brought to be delivered. He said, you were one of the largest churches, brought one of the largest collection of toys and items of any church. He said, in fact, many of the churches that we go to, the pastor just says, well, if anybody in the church wants to do it, they can. We had, how many people showed up to pack? Almost 40 people showed up to pack those boxes for Operation Christmas Child. That is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is what Yvonne did and what you did, sewing knots together. It is what Robert and Cindy did, presenting that prayer blanket to Roseanne this morning. It is what Homer and Yvonne did in presenting that prayer blanket to Robert and Cindy today. And my prayer, as I tied my knot, and I needed a lot of prayer because I'm not a good knot tier, so I was praying, Lord, help me, because there's people watching me do this. So if you see a knot that doesn't look good, you can say, that's the one Rodney did. My prayer was, Father, every time they lay this blanket over them, blanket them with your love. Just come over them with your love. When we come to take communion, we are saying something so powerful and so dynamic. We are saying, I am part of the body of Christ. I belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to me. And there is a place where I can function in the body of Christ and operate in the body of Christ and be used by God in the body of Christ. I'm so glad that the body of Christ is bigger than First Baptist. It's bigger than Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. It's bigger than Pisgah United Methodist Church. We are part of the body of Christ that functions and operates. It functions when Noel Hurst is sitting with someone representing not only hospice, but representing Jesus Christ, as he's sitting with someone who is in the last hours of their life and blessing their family so they can have a short break. What Noel is saying there is, I'm not part of a building, I'm part of the body. Everything you and I do, we're saying, I am part of the body of Christ. I am here representing Jesus Christ. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your anguish, I am here representing Jesus, because I have knelt at the altar and I took that bread and I took that cup that said, you belong to me. But when I come to the table, it also aligns my memories. Have you ever driven a car whose front end is out of line, out of alignment? You know how it wants to pull to one side, and every time you touch the brakes, you better be holding on to the wheel, because if you don't, it's going to put you in a ditch. Some of you say, I'm driving that car right now. You know, that happens in life sometimes. Sickness, pain, stress, disappointment, fear, worry, anger. These things cause our memories to get out of alignment. And before long, we become focused on the memory of our sickness and the memory of our fear and the memory of our worry and the memory of our anger and the memory of this or that or whatever it is, and we forget. But listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. And listen to these next words. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and listen again, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. When I come to this altar, and I take that piece of broken bread, and I take that cup, Jesus is saying, let me bring your memories back into alignment. Your memories may be consumed right now with what you're going through and what you're facing and how difficult it is right now. But let me bring your memories back into alignment. So once again, you begin to remember me. Communion brings us to the altar to do business with God. It is here when I come to this altar that I exchange the memories of my pain or my sorrow and I remember him. This past week, I met a friend of mine who lives in Orlando, but he was in Tallahassee, and he wanted to meet for lunch, and so we met, and he was talking to me about what he was going through, how painful it was, and the things that he was going through in life right now. And one of the things he said to me as we sat there, he said, I cannot get rid of these memories. I cannot get rid of these memories. At this altar, when we come to the altar and we take that bread and we take that cup, God begins to bring our memories back into alignment. Those memories that want to pull me off track and cause me to lose my focus. Here I am reminded again that when I take that bread and I take that cup, Jesus said, remember me. Remember me. Focus on me. Think about me. Remember my love. Remember my grace. Remember my mercy. Remember my peace. Remember my healing. Remember my presence. Remember my blessings. Remember me. Life is short. You and I will go to bed tonight, and whether we think about it or not, we go to bed tonight with faith that we will wake up tomorrow to see another day, but there is no guarantee. I mentioned to you earlier that I wanted us to pray for Gene Hatcher. Last Sunday after church, Gene was leaving, and many of you know Gene sits right over here where Clyde sits, and he comes in late. He comes in late every Sunday because Gene is a deputy sheriff. And Gene is part of our security. He and Joe Prado are part of our security. And that's why Joe sits in the corner. Joe told me, he said, I'd like to sit right on the front where you could even spit on me when you're preaching, but I have to sit back there. They're there as part of our security. Anytime that door opens, Joe and Gene turn to look, see who's coming in. They do that faithfully. Gene will sit out in the parking lot until about 11:20 to watch the people coming in the church. Last Sunday, as he were leaving, we were talking, and he said, Rodney, I want you to call me this week. I want us to have lunch. I want to talk to you. I said, okay, I'll do it. Gene got up Monday and went on to work, and during the day began to feel bad and went home. He asked his son-in-law late that afternoon, would you take me to the emergency room? I don't feel good. His son pulled up in the emergency room. They got Gene inside the emergency room, sitting in the waiting room, and Gene went into full cardiac arrest. They rushed him into surgery. They found he had one artery that was completely closed. And so while in surgery, they put a stent in there. Now, Gene went home Wednesday from the hospital, and I called him, and he sent me a text yesterday. He said, I'm getting better quickly. But I share that with you to say this. You and I live every day by faith. We have no idea what tomorrow is going to hold. The Bible says that Jesus knew that his hour had come. We don't have that luxury. And so when we come to this altar and we take that bread and we take that cup, this is not something we do because it's the first Sunday of the month. This is not something we do to check it off our religious works list. We come here because we believe, I believe, that at this altar, God calls us here to do business in our hearts, to bring us back into alignment, to remind us again that life is short, to remind us again that I'm part of something that is far bigger than me, to remind us again that life will get you out of alignment and get you off track. And Jesus says, come back, come back, come back to the place where you remember me and focus your life and your days on me. So, Father, today, as we come to this altar, as we take this bread and this cup that represents the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, this bread and this cup that remind us of our identity and remind us that we belong to you. Oh, Father, I pray that as we kneel at this altar, that this would not just be a religious exercise, something we do, but, Father, that we would be reminded, just as Moses said, we would be reminded to number our days and to make sure that before we leave this altar, we have brought our memories back into alignment and we walk away from this altar saying, I remember Jesus. I choose to remember Jesus. In the midst of my pain, in the midst of my questions, in the midst of my heartache, in the midst of what I'm facing, I will choose to remember Jesus. In Christ's name. I'm going to ask our ushers, gentlemen, if you'll stand and we're going to ask you to come and we'll fill the altars. You'll be served. Wait.